It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Monday. It's a Falcon Monday here on the show as we talk about the Falcons' victory against those Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mike was at the game yesterday sharing his thoughts, his experiences, and certainly hearing from you guys. The one thing that I'm doing today as we head towards another week of football at Mercedes-Benz Stadium and the rest of the year is I'm challenging Matthew Judon to step up. He's not done enough, and he knows it. And we keep talking about pass rush. We traded for a pass rusher. He's in the building. It's been 8 weeks. It's time. We cannot live with a half a sack or 1.5 sacks or whatever it is. This is my only issue with this football team right now. I have no other issues. Kirk Cousins is balling. Drake's doing his thing. Kyle Pitts has shown up after we challenged him. Everybody's doing what they need to do. And the one area, and Mike said this to start the show, is, all right, we won the game. It felt good. We did a lot of good things. As I said, there's a lot of goodness there. But the one thing is, man, they dropped back 50 times, and we didn't touch this dude once? We didn't get Baker on the ground one time?
There was one scramble where there was some contact, and his keister hit the deck. But, I mean, this is not like the old Mike Smith joke we used to make, and we still do all the time about it. Pass sacks don't matter. No, you've got to get the guy on the ground. You drop back 50 times in an NFL game, you got to go down. Remember Al Davis? The quarterback must go down. He must go down hard. Yeah, I mean, it's just not happening. And we are the worst team in the – I mean, guys, it's not even close. We are the worst team by 3 sacks. Dolphins are the second worst with 9. Carolina, who's literally in the lottery right now, is 9. Not lottery. You know what I'm talking about with the draft pick. But we're terrible. We are the worst team in the getting the quarterback on the ground business. Now, we're tied for 5th in the interception business.
Which is great.
And that's thanks to Jesse Bates and A.J. Terrell coming off one of his best days in the league. But there's got to be somewhere, somehow, Fontenot can find something. And I don't know what that pick is going to cost, you know, as far as what kind of draft pick you're going to have to give up, Carl. We got to do something. I don't think the answer is in the building, you know? Other than Dorless, I think they've tried. Everybody else has got a shot at it. You know, Rukoro may be injured right now. We don't know.
Yeah, his ankle. Here's why I bring this up. And again, I feel really good. And you should too. I've been telling you the turnovers are the difference maker. And they have been. We got a bunch yesterday, and it was the difference in the game, despite not being able to get a sack. But we can't live like that for the rest of the season. We can't do that for 9 more games and say, oh, it's okay if we only have a few more sacks in the rest of the way. But real quick, Mike, the Chiefs, and this is why I brought this up, they're all in. They brought in, and you guys know this, DeAndre Hopkins last week, right? Mm-hmm. He played yesterday. Today, the Chiefs clown around Mike and say, you know what, we need to get more pass rush. And they go get Joshua Uche from New England, who basically signed a 1-year deal, $3 million, to be with New England because he wanted to be there for the coach.
He had 5 sacks yesterday on Aaron Rodgers. The Chiefs, I was saying, wow, that's a hell of a day for that guy. But yeah, the Chiefs had 5 sacks against the Raiders. Again, they were just beating up on Gardner Minshew. But they add Uche, who's got some experience and has gotten the quarterback on the ground.
It's nuts. And they gave up, what did the Chiefs give up? Patriots receive a 2026 6th-round pick. This is getting back to what we're saying. Are you going to do something?
I mean, Ojulari from the Giants, because you know they're getting production from Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns, just off the top of my head. There's a couple other guys. See, I don't know. Did the Browns feel that Jameis can sustain this? And maybe there's a couple guys in the Browns would look good in a Falcon uniform, but they might not be ready to fire sale it just yet.
Yeah.
Knick-knack, this, that, paddywhack, give a dog a bone.
You might not be able to.
Well, he was definitely eating those W's yesterday, was Jameis.
Oh, man, listen. And we're going to talk about what went on around the league in our NFL blitz here in just a second. And certainly hand out some game balls and no balls along the way. But, Mike, I'll say this. There were 3 or 4 performances yesterday that were just incredible. Jameis was one of them. Jaden Daniels was another one where even if you didn't watch the game, just the Hail Mary play was absolutely insane. The ability to run around the way he did and create that time and be able to put his feet behind him and throw that football 67 yards or whatever it was. You know, there were just some incredible plays. But this also includes our quarterback. And I don't want to dismiss this. Like, as we go around the league, you know what other people around the country are talking about? Man, Kirk Cousins. Did you see Kirk Cousins yesterday? Did you see how he threw it around? Did you see how good he was? I hope we're not taking that for granted. And I said this as we started the show today. This is why we're here. He's been better than all of these quarterbacks in our division. And that's why we are undefeated in this division.
I mean, the dude is quoting rap lyrics, Carl, hip-hop, before the damn game. Everybody's saying, wow, Kirk, he really is going all Atlanta. Yes. I mean, the players freaking love this guy. I told you. You see him interacting with almost everybody, offense and defense. He spent some serious time with the offensive line if they had one bad series in this game. I mean, and we actually had people in this town that didn't want him.
I know.
Going into someone's trap and trying to take over their trap.
Yeah, take over. And that's what you did yesterday, Kirk. You took over their trap.
The guy is so freaking lovable and likable, and everybody on this team knows this guy's got that juice. He's got that certain something. You can't quantify it. He's got it. And yesterday he showed you he's back from the Achilles because that dude picked him up and put him down for 13 yards. And then he had a quarterback sneak to sustain that drive, which basically iced the game for all intents and purposes.
It was so much fun. All right, we got to talk about what else is going on around the league. But by the way, that deal just went down, though. The Chiefs bolstered their pass rush. Right. By getting Uche, and so we'll see. Listen, they're all in. They know this is their one shot. They may never be in a place where they could three-peat ever again. So they're going all in.
Hey, Travis Kelce had his first touchdown in like forever yesterday, too,
yeah.
In the red zone, if you didn't see the game. So, yeah, and the Raiders, you know, we always have division rivals. The Raiders just give them trouble.
Yes.
Minshew did something stupid, which is kind of what he does, but it was closer than I think most folks expected.
Now, remember this, and I only say all this to say, don't think that, like, we can't compete. You guys remember how we lost that game against the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Should have won it. It was a no call. Okay? So my point is, Mike, as good as things may seem like, oh, they're all in and they're going all in, we played them close, man. Like, that's a one-score game. It could have gone either way.
Right.
On a neutral site, if you're telling me that was a rematch, and somebody said to me after that game that night, they were like, man, it's going to be a rematch of the Super Bowl. I said, I hope so.
Man, I mean, it's one of those teams that, as we said, you're watching the game yesterday, we're watching the whole slate of NFL once we got back from Falcons at the sports bar. You know, you got Patrick Mahomes. You just got somebody who can do stuff nobody else can do. You know, like the amazing little, like, laterals and tosses and finding windows and getting the ball out. He's just got that special something. And they also play to his strengths. We'll talk about it because the Ravens, you and I were talking off the air. I still don't think Todd Monken, doesn't you think the Ravens looking really great? He puts that on tape yesterday.
Yeah.
Doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, it really didn't. Chiefs do win against the Raiders. It was closer than people thought. 27-7. Doesn't matter. They're 7-0. It doesn't matter. They continue to find ways to win. Hey, Big O, let's get to an NFL Blitz. NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Game balls, no balls, on the way. So yesterday was a fun day, man. I mean, outside of us winning, obviously, if you were just watching these games play out, the one that I did not expect, Mike, was the Eagles-Bengals game to get to where it was. 37-17. And this was a game, by the way, to start the third quarter. And then the Eagles score twice in the third. They score two more times in the fourth. This becomes a blowout. And all of a sudden now, I don't think Bengals are making the playoffs. I don't think they have a shot.
No, I think you're right. I think there's just too much. Their defense, and we talk about how bad we are getting the quarterback on the ground. The Bengals are not much better than we are as far as generating sacks. You know, it's just missing the eye test. They don't have it. And you're right. I mean, with all those weapons, you got 17 points. I've still got Ja'Marr Chase right now.
They do. They do. Let me hear Joe Burrow talk about, listen to this, winning 7 out of 9 games in the NFL. Come on, Joe.
I think 10 wins usually gets you in. So we got to win 7 out of 9. That's doable. It's doable.
I mean, he's confident, and I love it. But,
yeah.
But come on. They can't stop a nosebleed right now, Mike.
Yeah. I mean, it's just they don't look the part. They just don't. They don't look like. Remember, how many years ago was it they played the Rams in the Super Bowl? That's like the ancient history, right?
It definitely feels that way. Hey, as we watched yesterday, everybody's talking about the return of Tua. They lose at home. Give Kyler Murray credit, man. Mikey threw for 307 and 2 touchdowns and ran around like crazy.
I started Caleb Williams last night.
You started who?
Caleb Williams.
He was terrible.
The computer told me. You know, you ask, you go on the Yahoo app or.
Did the same thing. Thank Mike Kyler's on
go
my bench.
Go with your gut, guys.
I sat there and I'm literally
a better defense.
89% of the experts said go with Caleb Williams.
That's why they're not experts.
Oh, well, they're on the friggin' thing in the NFL website. So, yeah.
You could have started Kyler?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Brutal.
Terrible. Meanwhile, the story that everybody and their uncle is on, and it's unbelievable. We actually left the bar when I thought the Bears had won it, we missed the freaking play. We get back to the hotel, Scotty, the dude, and I see how this Commanders game ends. That's got to be the craziest game we've seen in 30 years.
I agree. First of all, it never happens, right? And when it does, it's so random. And it's so far few in between, Mike. You think about the last time you saw a Hail Mary. You're like, oh, yeah, 6 or 7 years ago. Like, it doesn't happen every season.
Aaron Rodgers is the one guy who's got that special ability. We saw him do it a few weeks ago. But what you saw there, they're rushing four, by the way.
I know.
And then, of course, the story that everybody's talking about is Tariq Stevenson. Now, people, that was, I think everybody, I would imagine that 99.9% of our audience has seen the video because that's all you saw on Get Up this morning. It was on an endless loop. But he's basically down there screwing around with the crowd. He's got his back to the freaking ball.
He does.
Eventually realizes to get over in position. And he's ironically the guy who deflects the ball for the winning reception for the touchdown.
Yeah. And he apologized. By the way,
went on social media.
Yeah, to his teammates and apologize. Here's the deal. It ain't over till it's over. Yesterday, Mike, when Baker Mayfield and the Bucs got the ball back, I said, this game is far from over.
Right.
You can stop counting your chickens, man. Mm-hmm. Like that. This game is crazy. And so, yeah, I've seen guys get cut for stuff like that.
Hey, that's the first thing I thought of when I saw it. He says to Chicago and teammates, my apologies for lack of awareness and focus. The game ain't over until zeros hit the clock. Can't take anything for granted. Notes taken. Improvement will happen. Hashtag bear down.
Yeah, well, it better.
But, I mean, if you're Dan Quinn, look, I know we had our fun with Dan, and sometimes we bust his chops. Felt pretty good for the guy, man. That's just the joy and just the vibe. It was unbelievable on the field.
Ran its course here. Doesn't mean he's not a good coach.
Right.
Because he proved it in Dallas, and now guess what? He's got a quarterback in Washington.
But there is nothing I enjoy more than doing hard
now
with
that,
good people.
That stuff will still bust his balls about.
Do you think Bears fans are feeling we got the wrong quarterback? Because Caleb is getting better and better each day, but Jaden's already light years ahead.
He is light years.
Because he played against better competition in college.
326 yesterday. Yeah, man. And that was an incredible throw. All right, we're going to come back. Speaking of game balls, no balls, we'll hand one out. You think he's getting one? Probably. Stay right there. It's coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. We're having a great time today, man. Chopping it up on a Falcon Monday.
Victory!
Victory! Coming up. Yeah, man, no man's on the way. Also, we're going to talk some dogs as we start getting ready for the cocktail party. Georgia, Florida this weekend. Georgia was off, and we'll talk with Connor Riley. By the way, a couple of struggles, man, this weekend in college football.
Ohio State looks like crap.
Yeah, a couple of struggles. Texas went to Vandy. They struggled, but they win. The rankings, you know, again, Georgia didn't – they were idle, so they stay at number two in the country. But, yeah, Mike, there's some teams where you kind of go, okay, what's going on? Again, I get back to this parity thing. I think there's more parity. And any weekend, man, you're going to see teams struggle. Navy did not remain unbeaten as Notre Dame beat them.
Yep.
So there were some things that we'll talk about. But Connor's also going to get us up to date on what the dogs are doing getting ready for Florida. All right. We got to get to some game balls and no balls. Mike, who do you want to give a game ball to on this Falcon football team?
A.J. Terrell. I thought that was the best game. Best game I've ever seen him play as a Falcon. How about that?
I'm with you.
Game ball.
Game balls.
Let's give one to Jesse Bates. Jesse does Jesse things every single game. He punches out two balls, recovers one, gets a pick. Mike, his impact on the game and on the defense – there's no measure for what he brings to this defense. Game ball for Jesse Bates.
Game balls.
Let's give one to our quarterback. We talking about my quarterback. That is, of course, is Kirk Cousins. Throws for 276, four touchdowns. He was brilliant all day and ran with the ball as well, which nobody expected. Let's give him a game ball.
Game balls.
All right, now how do we decide who gets a game ball, or is it a game ball and a no balls for Kyle Pitts because he had two touchdowns, but he almost left one on the 2 yard line?
How are you feeling about this? You want to give him a game ball and a no ball?
I mean, I'm not going to give him. I mean, he's got three touchdowns on the year.
Yes.
So we're on pace for six or more. I think we're getting now. They're 2-1 game. It's just, and he owned it. I did not see it. I heard about it from some of our audience that he did talk about in the post game and saying he's got to make better decisions. But he's becoming a bigger factor now in the game. But it's still without. Thank God they didn't have a pylon cam, because without it, the refs had nothing to do with go with the score. They was ruled a touchdown on the field. There was nothing to overturn it.
Thank goodness.
I'll give him a game ball. Let's be positive. Let's be glass half full.
I agree.
Game ball.
Game balls.
Look, we asked him to show up. He's showing up. We asked Zach Robinson to get him to rock a little bit more. They are. Kirk Cousins, whether he's seen him or that's design stuff, nobody ever wants to say he's impacting the game. I can live with it, and Kyle Pitts is showing up. All right, let's hand out. I didn't think I'd be doing this. A game ball to Jameis Winston.
Hey, you go eat them W's?
Guys, if you didn't see this game, the Ravens are up. Cleveland has the ball. Jameis throws what should have been a pick, and the safety drops it. Mm-hmm. The next play, this is what happened, and the Browns win.
Game balls.
104 to go, second and 15. Chubb stays in the backfield. Jameis to throw. Jameis has time. Jameis going deep. Has Tillman. End zone. Touchdown, Browns!
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, those poor fans. I know they got hell for booing and cheering when Deshaun Watson went out with the injury, which wasn't cool. But, man, they've been through the meat grinder, and that's a hell of a win for the Browns, man. And, look, you did it with Flacco. They still got some pieces. That'd be something. 2-6 on the season. If you want, while doing no-balls, Oren, they're doing no-balls to Todd Monken. You got to get the ball in the hands of the playmakers. And Derrick Henry, for those who don't know, he only touched the ball. He only had 11, Carl, rushing attempts for 73 yards. He broke one for 39.
It's not enough.
Why does Monken forget about the run game?
It's not enough.
No balls.
One of the funniest things I heard all day was after this Browns game, this was Jameis Winston in the post game.
Those guys were triggering. You know, they got the safeties all down.
Oh, that's Lamar. Let me hear Jameis first talking about you only get one shot.
It's a white boy from Detroit that I really admire named Eminem. He said, you only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity lasts once in a lifetime. And I know I got a quote, you know, Eminem, he from Detroit, he right up the road. But, man, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that the Lord provided me with this opportunity. I'm grateful for my teammates, my coaches, and these amazing fans.
Right on. This is white boy up in Detroit.
Come on, Jameis.
Maybe like, you've heard of him. He's called Eminem.
Eminem's like one of the most famous rappers and personalities ever. And this guy's talking about
he's a grown-ass man.
There's a white boy up the street. There's a white boy up the street. I got to quote the white. Really? Come on, Jameis.
I mean, Jameis, I don't know what makes me laugh more, but those memes of him when he's practicing back in the day with the Saints. Over in his backyard where he's making it work. Well, you know, good for him, though. And, hey, you know what? I will say this. Everywhere he's gone,
yeah,
they love playing. Guys love playing with this dude.
Well, I think there's something of genuine about him. Look, I'm still upset about what happened last year, but it doesn't matter because we're 4-0 in the division.
Right on.
But when he was with the Saints. But Lamar Jackson, Mike, to your point, here's the deal. He had a chance to win the game yesterday. I got to give Lamar no balls, man. He was talking about how the Browns' defense was confusing and all of this. What? Come on, Lamar. No balls.
No balls.
That guys were triggering. You know, they got the safeties all down. Linebackers, they were switching it up. They were doing a great job at switching it up. But the read was still the same. They did a good job, though.
I think we can give a collective no balls to say it with me. J-E-T-S.
Jets, 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 Jets.
No balls.
Media in New York is in a frenzy right now over this one.
Well, they should be. And Big O, while we're at it, can I hear Aaron Rodgers? He's back to the darkness, Mike. He's talking about dark places. And
well, I got to be Jeff Ulbrich literally looked like he was in a mental breakdown. Former linebackers coach here with the Falcons. He talked about being in the darkness. He was literally shaking at the podium.
Everybody thought this was a gimme. They lose to the Patriots if you're not following our drift. Aaron Rodgers after the game.
Yeah, I've been in the darkness. You got to go in there. Make peace with it. Offensively, our goal has just got to be score 30. Doesn't matter what the other two sides are doing. You know, we have trust in our defense and teams. But if we're not scoring 30, we're underachieving. This offense can do that every single week.
Carl, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, what's up?
What did you say to me at the beginning of the season?
About the Jets?
Yeah.
I don't know. What did I say?
Yeah. You told me to be confident in them and not be negative, Carl. And I told you.
Oh, well.
I told you.
Yeah, I was trying to make you feel better.
Same old Jets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been in the darkness.
Yeah.
Mike, you got to go in there. Who is this, Bane? Who is this?
I was born in it, molded by it. I embraced the darkness and the. How do you pronounce that? Ayahuasca? Maybe you need to realize, I wondered what would break first, my body or my mind.
Yeah, I've been in the darkness. You got to go in there.
It's both. I can't play quarterback.
Actually, he did have two touchdowns yesterday, but the team is just like, it is what it is. This was, and I think it was it Peter Brandt? Who was it? Peter Schrager on Good Morning Football said he was going to be the MVP this year of the league.
Unbelievable.
And they're killing
I've been
him.
In the darkness.
They're killing
you got to go in there.
I've been in the darkness.
I mean, Drake.
We know.
Drake May gets knocked out of it. I mean, this one is just, the Jets are as low as low. I mean, people really felt that this was the year. And think about the talent. You brought Devontae Adams in. You finally got Hassan Reddick to, you know, come play football. They've got some of the great, you got Breece Hall. You got one of the best running backs in the league. You know, you got Williams. And this team is crap.
It's terrible.
And you can't, you're going to go fire Robert Saleh again? He's working for the Packers now.
No, you can't touch him. Hey,
we're on a five-game losing streak.
Well, it's about to be just six.
Saying. Yeah, I've been in the darkness.
We know, Aaron.
You got to go in there.
Let's get to the play of the day. That is the Hail Mary. We got to give Jayden Daniels and the Commanders a game ball. Daniels spoke about it after the game. Here's how it went down.
Game balls.
Four of them at the goal line. They bring three. Daniels backing up. He's just going to have to let one fly. Goes to the right side. Steps away from the defenders. Gives himself some time. Now steps up, fires, heads towards the end zone. It is
unbelievable, and you got to forgive all those guys. And by the way, the Commanders broadcast hasn't sounded like that since it was Sonny Jurgensen and Sam Huff.
It's true.
Back in the day, all screaming at the same time.
It's true.
But man, that was great. And of course, we played it earlier. Tariq Stevenson goes on Twitter to apologize after he literally was doing the WWE. Oh yeah, to the fans out there, and literally taunting the Commanders fans in the end zone. And then he goes, "Oh, I guess I should get in on this play." And then he's the one who tips the ball for the touchdown.
It was funny. Yeah, you might have heard this song.
Yeah,
I don't know.
There's a white boy up in Detroit.
White boy from Detroit.
Yeah, you might have heard it. He won an Oscar for this song. 2002 is when this came. It's hard to believe. Yeah. 2002 is when this came out. All right.
Jameis just got about it on his Discman.
It's Dukes and Bell. Yeah, man, no man's coming up here on Sports Radio 92.9 again. We've got tickets for you to go check out Winterfest, the all-white affair, Volume 2 concert starring Escape, BBD, Q Park and Friends, Carl Thomas, Jace For Real, Soul For Real, Silk, so many artists. December 20th, 8 o'clock at State Farm Arena. Stay tuned. We're going to give you a chance to win those tickets. Mike back from his trip to Tampa supporting our Falcons, and it was a good trip, man. Whenever you travel, there's nothing worse when you're traveling to go see your team and they lose. It's always a long flight home. It's just the worst. When you win, Mike, it's like glorious. Everybody's talking to you. It's just great, man.
And it was fun. We were over at a bar after the game, American Social, and you know, every time Falcon fans would come in the door, rise up, rise up,
rise up.
And you get all these kind of sad sack, you know, middle aged Florida men. You know, Tampa Bay fans, Carl, kind of sitting there, you know, various states of disheveledness and just looking relatively miserable. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. We did see, I told Chris, we saw Baker Mayfield walk in the bar with his family.
Oh, so, that's cool.
And he was actually wearing, he actually walked into Raymond James wearing a throwback before the game. So he was definitely in the vibe of the creamsicle jersey.
Awesome, man. All right, we got to get to Yeah Man, No Man. Turtle! What is going on today, my man? How are you?
Hello, gentlemen. I need you to help me finish out a debate here that I was having with a buddy over the weekend. Halloween falls on a weird day and a weird time. It'll be Thursday of this week. I saw a lot of people out in them streets this weekend celebrating Halloween a little early. Yeah, man, no man. Is it okay to celebrate Halloween this coming weekend after the day has officially passed?
Yeah, why not? Go for it, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, part of this is all the parties and stuff were kind of this weekend, right? There was a lot of stuff going on around town leading into, because most people don't want to wear costumes the following weekend. But here's the deal. Mike, all the rules have changed, haven't they?
Right, I mean, do your thing. Now, I know that there are a lot of folks in costume. There was a couple of folks that were dressed up in, you know, bananas and all the fun stuff. You know, these things you can buy at Spencer's, right, Carl? Easy costumes.
Yes.
I know we were out on we were hitting them streets. Yes, we were the oldest guys in the bar, Carl. But we had some nice folks. It was funny. My buddy, the dude, Chris, was talking to these two girls, and they were dressed up as Dumb and Dumber, you know, the tuxedos. And they're like 20-somethings. And they go to Scott. They go, nobody gets the costumes. Like, so they're like, well, they're definitely in our demographic. We remember that movie. But there was a couple of folks. All did a lot of sci-fi stuff. What I saw, at least down in Tampa, like the 20-somethings were all kind of getting into it. Like, we're in Dune stuff and everything else.
I love this time of year. I talk about it all the time. Our house is like a damn hot haunted house, and we got decorations everywhere. But the point is,
the picture of Frankie, by the way.
Oh, just wait.
That was fire.
Just wait.
What a great dog.
He is. He's turned into. Listen, I'm so happy. I mean, he's a great dog. But just wait for Halloween. I want to blow you away. But I will say this: if you told me you had a party this next weekend after Halloween on Thursday, I'd come because I love Halloween.
Right.
I don't have any qualms with it whatsoever.
All right. I need you guys to be Googling for me right now.
All right.
Google Dwayne Wade statue.
Oh, man. Damn it, you stole my thunder. I had this for Guy Talk. Yes, they unveil the statue of Dwayne Wade outside whatever the arena is now called in Miami, correct?
Yeah, yeah. So this thing, I mean, I've seen comparisons drawn to Lawrence Fishburne, to Jesse Eisenberg.
I think it looks like a cross between Chris, I think it looks like a cross between Lawrence Fishburne and Mr. Clean.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So, Carl, take Lawrence Fishburne and mash it up with Mr. Clean, and that's what the saw Dwayne Wade's reaction and his family's reaction. No one could conceal their contempt for this horrible. Who made this? Stevie Wonder?
Yeah, it was terrible. You see D. Wade walk around this statue like he's like they reveal it. It's cool because it's like fire and smoke and all this stuff, and he deserves it. By the way, he was one of the greatest. And you see him kind of look at this statue as he's walking and looking at it, and you know in your mind you're thinking he's thinking the same thing you are. This don't look like me. This is not me.
It has the classic red or black Miami jersey with the red and white trimming. Mm-hmm. If you took that off the chest of the nameplate and I gave you 1,000 guesses to guess who that statue was of, you wouldn't get it.
It literally, to me, like for guys, you know, the cleaning guy with the earring, Mr. Clean, it looks like freaking Mr. Clean. But maybe meets, as you said, Lawrence Fishburne. We've seen sculptures just miss it. Like the Evander Holyfield looks great, right? The Dominique looks great.
It does. So
you got to hire those guys. When Pollock went into the Georgia Florida Hall of Fame, Carl.
Yeah, man.
We were there at the luncheon, and they revealed Pollock's bust. It looked like Lionel Richie. So sometimes it's... These sculptors, I don't know what picture they were using or how they went, but man, they missed the mark.
Yeah, the only one I think that compares, if you guys remember the Ronaldo one from a couple of years ago, that they actually went back and remade.
Redo the face, right?
Yeah, because it was so bad. All right, going to get a little serious here. We just had a couple of fun stories because I do want your guys' opinion on this. The NFL and college football is facing an issue. We have an election coming up in a couple of days. And now players on both levels are taking it upon themselves to openly wear and support specific candidates on their attire on the field after games. And I saw an article today written, should the league step in and ban this policy, or should you be allowed to support whoever you want to support on the field of play after the games when you're seen by a national audience?
Well, we had lots of conversations about 7 years ago with Colin Kaepernick and anybody else who tries to use their, again, it's your right, free speech, to use your forum if you want to send a message about something that's important to you. But in the case of Nick Bosa wearing a MAGA hat, Carl, and he kind of crashes over the Brock Purdy postgame, and then he changes hats, and then the media started to ask him questions, then he kind of equivocated and wouldn't answer any questions about it.
How do you feel? I'm not asking you, Chris, or Mike, or Orn. How do you feel? Do you want to know? I don't. I don't want to know. This is where I just want to appreciate what you do on the field. I don't want to know, nor do I think most people. Somebody asked me the other day, who are you voting for? None of your damn business.
Right.
It's a very private thing. And it doesn't mean that I don't feel about certain issues the way you do or that we can't agree. Mike and I talk about this all the time. And some of the conversations we have in this studio, if we could have on air, you might be surprised. But the fact of the matter is, Chris, I don't want to know.
Right.
And here's the difference. You're asking me that, you know, we talk about this all the time. There's three things you don't talk about, right? That's right. One of them. We talk about this as if somebody got killed, as if this is a similar deal with social justice. It's not. This is a personal, very personal deal as to how you feel. I just don't want to know, and I don't care. And for those of you who are listening, don't tell me who you're voting for. I don't care. I will tell you this. I hope you vote. And I push that because I know how important it is. And I've told you guys this. People in my family died for the right to vote. I vote. We vote. My family votes. With that said, I don't want to know who you're voting for. That's where I'm at.
And I think in the case of, you know, today, look, if you're you want to wear the hat, then answer the question. You know, you're going to wear the hat, then they're going to ask you a question about it because you're obviously going to get a response out of it. And then, okay, then you're going to you feel that way, then own it. And as Carl just laid out, either there's some folks out there going to vibe you and other folks out there are going to revile you. And the thing that you get today in the world of pop culture, whether it's music, sports, whatever, you know, you're basically going to alienate half of your fan base. If you want to get up on that cross, knock yourself out. But I'm with Carl. It's a private decision amongst you, at least it used to be. But we can't have a dialogue about anything nowadays because people go in their corners and it becomes just it degenerates into a shouting match. No one respects anyone else's opinion.
If you want to tell me who you are voting for, great, that's fine.
Right.
But I'm not asking for that.
Bingo.
As a sports fan, I'm not looking for you to run out there and tell me that. I'm not looking for that. And so if you ask me if I had an issue with it last night, no. I didn't have an issue with it, but I see where a lot of people might. And I just think most people who are watching these games, you know, I don't think they care one way or the other. They'd rather not know.
I think a lot of folks in this world, we turn to sport. You guys turn to us. Look, there's sometimes there's issues that come and cross over into sports, and we are going to talk about it because it's unavoidable. But for the most part, Carl, as you like to say, we stay in our lane. People come to us as a diversion from the toxicity of the political environment today.
Yeah, we are the candy store as a local broadcast.
But again, if you're an athlete, if you're Bose, if you're going to do it, then own it.
Well, that's the whole thing, right? If you're going to do it,
that is the bigger thing.
If
that
you're
going
to do it, then you got to be able to at least say why you're representing, you know, representing yourself in that fashion. All right, we got to run. Big O, hit my music.
And by the way, that goes for anybody. I don't want to know. I don't want to LeBron. It goes for anybody.
Right.
It's a very personal thing. That's what you believe. That's what you think. So be it. All right. With that said, we got a lot more to get to. Falcons win yesterday, and it was one of those wins where this offense showed you a lot of different things.
These two games at Tampa Bay, I mean, we just talked about that Commanders finish, which no one's going to beat. But these two games at Tampa Bay are two of the wildest games I've seen in recent Falcon history.
Right now, Kirk Cousins owns Tampa in these two, and the numbers are insane. But we got to talk some dogs, man, because this is the week of the cocktail party. The Dog Report's coming up with Connor Riley next.